Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donko. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
That's the gospel this morning. Anchor scriptures. And, upgrade a little. And this is my face. This baby face is here. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 12. We are going to do a very long reading from the verse 1 to the verse 16. Mind you, today I'm starting a new sub-series. We are taking a new sub-series today. So this is the first episode of our new sub-series. Hallelujah. And the sub-series we are dealing with is titled, When I Pray or the Church Prays. Hallelujah. So we are done with our first sub-series under Teach Us to Pray. We are moving to the next sub-series. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 16. Now, about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. The Bible said vex. Hallelujah. Let's continue. It's a long reading, so hurry up with me. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Let's continue. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without what? Ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And when he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he was he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and he had delivered me out of the hands of Herod, and from all the expectations of the people of the Jewish. I pray for you this month, 2024, this will be your confession in the name of Jesus. Amen. You will say that now I know that the Lord has delivered. See, there are expectations of people for your life. You are in school. They are waiting for you to fail. Then they say, Semekai is all good. But you will disappoint. God will disappoint them. Amen. And we will stand before them and make this declaration that the expectations. Hallelujah. Verse 13. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were praying together. If you are using a hard copy Bible, take note of that place. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. I like the way King James called, use the damsel. The word damsel, that means a young girl. Damsel. Hallelujah. Amen. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gates. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. See, I don't know, Papa, the kind of encounters that the early church had, that even angels were not a matter of disturbance to them. They prayed for a miracle, and when the miracle came, they said, oh, it is his angel. means that the angelic ministration was a normal thing with them. That was not something that today, when you said there's an angelic encounter, it becomes a whole. They said it was his angel, so they didn't have time to even open the door to see an angel. They are busy. They are so busy. Today, if I tell you that there's a physical angel here, you leave me here alone to preach. You want to have a sight of an angel. How far have we fallen from the true encounter of God? But God will help us. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to 5, our second reading. 2 Chronicles. It is in the New Testament, after the book of Matthew, before 2 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Have you found it? Have you found it on your phone or your Bible? It's in the New Testament. Hallelujah. If you have not found it, God will help you. I think I thought you were looking for it in the New Testament. Like today, you do a Bible drill right now. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Let's go. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of the side Syria, and behold, there be in not Hazar Zontama, which is in what? En Gedi." That did you say this can be your nickname? That did you normally? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all. Hallelujah. Out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 5, quickly. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. As usual, our last reading, we are going to read together the book of Psalms, chapter 133, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. Can we go together? Behold, are we reading? Let's go. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's go. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to his skirts of his garments. Verse 3. As the dew of Hermon, Jesus, and as the dew that descend upon the mountains of what? Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Hallelujah. As I mentioned earlier, we are taking a new sub-series, which is titled, When I Pray, All the Church Prays. And our first message, or our first episode under this topic we are dealing with, is dominion through corporate prayers. Dominion through corporate prayers. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Okay. Now, we started our journey of understanding the concept of prayer. Are you with me? And I want to summarize all that we have done under the sub-series Men Ought to Pray. All that we have done under the sub-series Men Ought to Pray is to point to you that as far as dominion is concerned, it cannot be done without prayer. Therefore, we examine the offices or the dimensions of dominion, which being the act of priest, the king, and the prophet, establishing the principles that undermines these dominion principles through what? Prayer. So in short, you cannot exercise dominion. You can never exercise dominion without prayer. You cannot be an effective priest without prayer. You cannot be an effective prophet without prayer. You cannot be an effective king without prayer. And what is your use on earth if you cannot exercise dominion? For the Bible said, he has made us kings and priests unto the glory of the Father. So it is expected of us that we live the fullness of what? A king, and the fullness of what? A priest. And that the Lord will find a desire to call us his what? His prophet. Hallelujah. Now, this sub-series we are coming to do is directed towards these three things. Number one, we want to deal with some misconception about how prayer is executed. Number one. So, all throughout what we'll be doing in this message, we have not tackled the concept prayer itself. We are just trying to get along with certain ideas we need to have when we start to deal with the concept prayer. Hallelujah. So, this series, we are going to deal with some misconceptions. And misconceptions, I mean some theories that has been conceived as what prayer is, but how prayer should be what done, but it is not. Number two, the truth about some non-negotiable realities of prayer. There are some realities of prayer that they are non-negotiable. We are going to understand them under this very sub-series. And last one, practicing a prayer life that rewards. Do you know there's not every prayer life that has reward? Hallelujah. Are you with me? If you read the book of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that there is a way that God can reward prayer. So under this sub-series, we are going to understudy the concept of what? A prayer life that brings what? Reward. You know, God can answer your prayer, but there are some people who are receiving rewards of prayer. They are two different things. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So the first one we want to deal with is to handle the area or the aspect of corporate prayer gathering and individual prayer session. So today we will be dealing with the concept of what? Corporate prayer. Hallelujah. Now let's start. When it comes to prayer, it is either you do it alone or with a group of people. Anytime you want to engage in this spiritual system called prayer, it's either you are doing it alone or you are doing it with a group of people. Do you agree with me? Are we on the same page? So when you said you are praying, it is either you are doing it alone or you are doing it with what? A group of people. Now I talk about the group of people. A group is formed when two or more people come together to what? Do something. So the moment you are two people, you are praying, that becomes what? A group. So group yourself into what? Two. Do you get it? Alright. So when I'm talking about a group, don't think about huge numbers. I'm talking about when two people come together to what? Pray. It becomes what? A group. Hallelujah. However, there has been some misconception about these two. That is praying alone and praying in a group. Notice this misconception. Now, there's a popular school of thought that corporate prayer and individual prayer life corporate prayer and individual prayer life, they have put it in this way. Economically, we call it a competitive goods. Let me teach you some more economics today. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever done accounts before? A little knowledge in economics. Okay. So those who don't know economics, we are going to teach you economics more. Okay. When we say a product or a good are competitive, what it means is that both of them can replace each other. For example, when we see Bel Aqua, we have Bel Aqua here, right? We have Awake also here. These two products are competitive because I can choose to either buy Awake or buy out Bel Aqua. Means that this one can replace this one. Now, the school of thought that I'm talking about is saying that whether you do a corporate prayer or you do an individual prayer, the resultant effect that you are going to derive is the same. It is a very big lie. It is not like Bel Aqua and then Awake that if you drink it, it will still satisfy out your thirst. It's not the same. Are you with me? So the school of thought that said that there's no difference between corporate prayer gatherings and individual prayer life. That is a very wrong theory, and it's an error that is going on in the church. Do you know that you of all people can attest to it, that people question why you tell people that, oh, we are having a prayer meeting, you're having a prayer session, said, oh, me, I pray on my own. In my house, I pray. Wherever you pray, God will listen. Is that not it? Is that not what you have been saying? Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. Hallelujah. Also, another school of thought also believes that Whenever we have corporate prayer gatherings and we pray, it covers what you have to do individually. So there are people, all their prayer life they have in this world is half hour. As long as they wake up in the morning or at dawn and join half hour, they've settled everything. It covers there. Are you with me? As long as they come to church, morning glory, and they pray that week, they have covered the whole week. So there is no need for having your personal prayer time with God. Have you ever been in that school of thought before? Let me see which of the school of thought you belong to. Do you belong to the school of thought that says that individual prayer meeting is the same as corporate prayer meeting, so you can pray home? There's no need to. You see, when the church declares fasting and prayers, this is where you begin to see these things. Oh, why didn't you join the prayer meeting? Oh, I prayed on my own. Are you with me? Are you on the same page? So, this school of thought, these two opinions, has made many people lead a certain kind of life that has not helped them to grow prayerfully. So, what we are going to do is to draw the line between corporate prayer, hallelujah, and then what? Individual prayer life. You see, today, by the time we are done today, nobody will tell you to take prayer gathering serious. We are done with this very serious. And nobody will tell you to take out your individual prayer life or serious, because both of them are complementary to each other. Now, when I talk about complementary, that is also another economic thing. Hallelujah. Have you seen this wonderful, beautiful remote over here? It's meant for the AC, right? If I push this thing down, you are going to see that there is something inside it called out batteries, right? If I take this battery out, this remote will cease to function. I can't use only the battery to what? Turn on this AC. Neither can I use this remote alone to turn on the AC. So the remote of this AC and the battery here are called complementary what? Products. Means that they need each other to what? To function. In other words, the believer cannot fully function in the office of dominion and grow prayerfully without not considering to be actively involved in both corporate prayer life and individual prayer life. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So today we are going to understand the concept of what? Corporate prayer. And then we are going to look at what corporate prayer contributes to your spiritual development. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? I'm still laying foundation. Okay. So now, corporate prayer is a common practice in the Bible. Right from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you will see that people always pray together. Corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is a common practice. And you find out that, let's read the book of Acts chapter 3 verse 1. Acts 3 verse 1. Very interesting scripture. Now Peter and John went up what? Somebody can you read it with me? Went up what? Together into the temple at the hour of what? Prayer, being the what? 9th hour. Corporate prayer was a very phenomenal religious practice among the Jewish people, that they had what we call the hour of what? Prayer. So in the Jewish culture, they had that moment that they all go into the temple, and they have a place called the Wailing Wall. If you go to Israel, we still have that place. That the people gathered there corporately to pray in the temple. So it was one of those times. This was not invented by the church, early church. It was already a religious practice. So they were just honoring it in their way to the temple. That's why they met the man at that beautiful gate, and that miracle took place, and people in the temple were touched. That's how the 6,000 souls were won, or 6,000 souls were won on that day. So corporate prayer has been a phenomenon practice in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, such that they had what we call the hour of what? Prayer. Now corporate prayer is very important, because if you study the life of God and his relation with people, God always wants to engage people either individually or corporately. Now, if you read the book of Exodus, you find out that there was a time
that God told Moses that gather all the people of Israel that I may have a word with them. Do you remember that? But remember what prayer is? Communication, right?
So God do not only intend to deal with us individually, God also love to deal with us what? Corporately. So corporate prayer is not something that was invented by our fathers. Neither was it invented by Daddy Joe. And it's not invented. It's not like something that just get up in the church and then come and let's pray. No, no, no. Corporate prayer was a thing of the old that was practiced. Hallelujah. So what corporate prayer gathering offers the believer? I'm going to talk. That is where my whole focus is. And I'm going to give you five powerful. Hallelujah. Five powerful points that corporate prayer exclusively offers the believer. It's only corporate prayer that offers that. Number one, the dominion of the church as a body is established through prayer. Because the church as one body also manifests its dominion through priesthood, kingship, and prophetic dimension. Now, let me do all and talk about something. When you come into the kingdom of God, when we talk about dominion, dominion is in two perspectives. Number one, dominion as individuals and dominion as what? Church. And the church is also viewed as what? One body. Jesus being the head and we being the what? The body. So when God looks at the body of Christ on earth, he sees it as what? One body. So as we are here as a church together, are you following? We are seen as one unit entity on the side of God. And therefore, we also releases that dimension of what? Dominion. And that is done through corporate prayer. Now, let's read the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 17 to 19 quickly. And let's deal with this point. It's very important. What it means is that when the church do not honor the principle of corporate prayer, that church will not have any power. You see, before you can take over a territory, it is not about the individual prayer life. It is about how the church comes together and pray. You get that? No church can take over any place if they are not corporate together in prayer. That's the principle. Let's read. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now verse 18, as I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now move on. And I will give unto thee, not, he was not talking to Peter, he was talking to the church. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of what? Heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He was not talking to Peter. He was talking to the church. So when the church. So let me help you. Jesus did not only remain here. He went ahead to explain this principle. In Matthew chapter 18 verse 18 and 19. Let's see. How did they say that the binding is? Is it one person binding or more than one person? Let's read. Matthew chapter 18 verse 18. Verily I say unto thee, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth. You see, it is repeated again. Shall be what? Bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In the previous one, he said, because you have keys, you have authority, you can bind. So here he didn't repeat it again. So get it first. The reason why we can bind and loose is because the church has authority to do so. Now, how do the church do that binding and loosing? Verse 19. Again, I want you to doubt if two or of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in what? Heaven. Binding and loosing is in corporate prayer. You see, so if you don't come for corporate prayers, if you don't respect the principle of corporate prayers, what you are saying is that that authority that Jesus has given the church, we cannot honor it. There are things to bind and there are things to loose. I said there are things to what? Bind and there are things to what? It is only in the premise of corporate gathering. He said, what about two of you?
shall agree upon on this touching anything that shall ye ask. Prayer is an art of action. The principle of agreement. So one of the things that corporate prayer offers you is the advantage of what? Binding and what? Loosing. So it could be that you have found something that is happening in your life. The devil has come to mess something up. What you need to do is to get somebody to join you and activate this principle. So anybody who tells you that corporate prayer is not relevant, you can't do this individually. This is only it's refined. It is only within a corporate gathering. Because of time, I'll give you many examples in the Bible that this binding and loosing was done through corporate prayers. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you go to the whole book of Acts chapter 4, you see something that they were binding in prayers. We will get there. So what is the first point I want to establish? There is no way the church, the body of Christ, can exercise dominion. That is in the ability to use the keys given to them if there are no corporate gatherings. So when we call for corporate prayers, when we come to the protocols of corporate prayers, we'll deal with that. That, you see, corporate prayer is not where we come and then somebody will come and stand here and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and prophesy and we clap for the person. That's not corporate prayers. No. Corporate prayers, we come here, we mean serious business. And now we get to the protocols of corporate prayers. You understand this principle. Whatever two or more are gathered in my name, you understand. I'm going to talk about that. That's another whole message. Protocols of corporate prayers. How to be effective in. We cannot bring people. See, that's what I said. We cannot bring you here and waste your time. Because this is a provision clear in scriptures that there is an authority on two or more people to agree on anything and ask, and it will be done. This morning, I want us to agree on one thing. You see, I've been telling that. Do you know why government officials, they fear the church? Because there are many arsenals we have in our pocket. When we begin to release them, they can't stand us. I'll give you only one example, then we'll move on. Because of time, we can't be, so we hold on. In the book of Daniel, the chapter 2, the Bible said Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and the dream he asked of his wise men to interpret. The Bible said they failed. They didn't have the capacity to do so, because the requirement was that first of all, you should be able to produce the exact dream and therefore interpret it to prove that you have the authenticity to what? Give the clarity to that dream. The Bible said a declaration was made by Nebuchadnezzar that all the wise men in the land of what? Babylon should be executed, because they failed in their very profession they were called to do. And the Bible said this message came into a man called Daniel, and Daniel said to the one who was ordered for the execution that give me all just 24 hours. Now the king, the Bible said when Daniel spoke to the man, execution was stayed for 24 hours. What did Daniel do? The Bible said Daniel went and called Obalamakoshaya. Daniel went and called his three other brothers and said, let us go to our God and plead this matter before him. Agree on that one thing and said that you must do something about this matter. The Bible said in the night the Lord came in a vision, and the dream of Nebuchadnezzar was given to Daniel with the interpretation. The Bible said when Daniel went to Nebuchadnezzar and interpreted the dream unto him, the Bible said the king fell flat before him and worshiped him. Because this was only God. The church can only become God. See, the individual glory is precedent on the dominion principle of the church. What I want to tell you is that when you come together individually, you are strong. So Daniel was able to unlock heaven, not because he was anointed, but he engaged one principle. Whatever two or more shall agree upon, touching heaven. Because they touched heaven in prayer. I pray for you. You see, you and your sister, you are enough in that house. I don't know whatever the enemy is doing in your family. I said, you and your sister, you are enough. When you agree on anything in that house and say that today we bind the spirit of infirmity, we bind the spirit of poverty, you have that authority according to the book of Matthew, because that keys have been given to you. And when you rise up in that anger and say that you
infirmity we bind you. Oh, wherever our wealth has been kept, we lose it. The Bible said heaven will answer. Therefore, I pray for you that whenever you come together in prayer, may this principle of dominion be revealed in the name of Jesus.
You can't do this alone. So there is dominion in corporate prayer. And Daniel leveraged on that. If not, you have been executed. If they had gone alone to pray, they may have not gotten there. They would have all perished. But the Bible said they came together. And after prayer. So even though Daniel was having a prophetic realm to assess God, it took corporate anointing to unlock it for him. We will get it. Number one. So the dominion of the church is premised on corporate gatherings, corporate prayer. So when the church comes together, the church releases the fullness of its dominion. The manifestations of the church, it begins to baffle the mind of the devil, confound the wisdom of the world, because that is where the dominion is released in that corporate gathering. The second example I said time factor, so I'll not go there, was when Jesus took Peter, John, and James to the mountain of transfiguration. It was in that place that one of the greatest encounters took place. Jesus didn't go alone. The Bible said, whilst they were praying, they saw Moses and Elijah who appeared into it, and Jesus was transformed. It was there that they heard a voice. Corporate prayer. We will get there. Hallelujah. Number two. Corporate prayer, which is the very important point here, produces corporate anointing. Corporate prayer. See, there is a difference between an individual anointing and corporate anointing. Now, this place, if I want to interpret this principle, the best thing that can help me to interpret it is football. There is a difference between individual brilliance on the field and a teamwork. You can have all the best players. Somebody made a funny statement recently. Let's laugh. Don't be too much. Don't enter the spirit too much. We are not there yet. I'm going to release you. We are going to pray today. Because we want to bind and loose some things. Hallelujah. Are you ready to bind and loose? Somebody said, how many of you know PSG? Paris Saint-Germain. That team needs a deliverance. Because if Messi, Mbappe, and Neymar have been in that team, they couldn't win Champions League. It will take angels. If you check the record of that club, they've had almost all the best players in the world passing through. Ronaldinho, Ibrahimovic. I'm a football fan, so don't worry. I know. Yesterday, God delivered us. Hallelujah. Hey, something happened in my house yesterday. Pastor Collins was backing. Hey, Jesus. Miss Mark was praying, interceding. Caesar went to activate his subscription just because he helped to see me lose. But God in heaven delivered us in the name of Jesus. You see, the expectations of our enemy was not met. Hallelujah. So, that is the best way I can explain it to you. You can have individual brilliant players who can, if you leave them alone in terms of individual skills, they can do all. But when it comes to delivering, it comes together with what? A team brilliance. You can be very anointed, but you are limited. But if you find a perfect team, that's what we call the corporate anointing. You will see that indeed you are anointed. So, corporate prayer produces corporate anointing necessary for number one, provoking heaven's emergency response to a matter. Whenever a corporate anointing is released in a corporate gathering, you will find out that heaven's emergency response is quickly released. And when I talk about having emergency, I'm talking about the fastest route to which God can step into matters on earth to act. It is produced under corporate anointing. Can we go back to Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 5? We are not going to read. But our first reading said that there was a time that a king called Herod took interest in slaughtering the leaders of the church because he found certain people who was pleasing. Do you know that some people are just persecuting the church because some people are happy that they persecute the church? When you go to the social media, most of the people who speak ill about the church is not because No, they are happy that they are able to make people happy because they speak ill about the church. And that is the spirit of Herod. He went for James and he tested the water and see if the Jewish people would accept that his new found venture. And when he succeeded in operationalizing the first one, the Bible said the Jewish people were pleased and said, "Oh, okay, this is a very good market. It can help to cement my authority." Now, I've spoken to you about the concept of ecclesia, and I told you about the team that formed the ecclesia. Herod simply means the administrative authority of the Roman Empire in a jurisdiction. So Herod are the kings. Are you following? So he was ruling over a particular jurisdiction, which the Jewish were there. So when he executed a Jew and he saw that the Jewish people were interested in him dealing with their own people, he said, "Okay, can I press forth? Because when they like me, it means that I'll get good report before Caesar. Because when it comes to the time of accountability, Herod must prove that he has been able to convince the people that he's ruling over, who Caesar has placed the authority, placed under his authority. So he was looking for things that would be in the interest of the people. So when he touched the church and he saw that the people actually want him to touch the church and the Jewish people over here, I will not be surprised if it's the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they have had issue with Jesus and now these disciples are making troubles. So they will be happy. So when he saw that the leadership of the Jewish people were happy, so okay, then I can now cement my authority in this territory and gain the favor of the people by persecuting the church, going after the church. So he went for the Ogboro. So if I'm able to finish Peter, so he took Peter. Now the Bible said it was the day of unleavened bread. What it means that, see, because of the sacredness of the Jewish celebration, he couldn't do that kind of thing. So he has to wait for the Jewish people to finish their sacred act, then he can meet their satisfaction. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the church, can you give me the verse 5? The verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The death of Peter was numbered. So Peter's day were numbered, and the individual found out that if we want to pray the prayer alone, this thing will not work. So the Bible said they produced prayers. In fact, there was a making of prayer. What happened? Emergency response was activated. Sometimes you need something urgently from God. Your individual anointing will not release that. You need a corporate anointing. Do you know that people, let me prove it to you. Sometimes it is not the pastor who is anointed here. It's because of the corporate garden. When we pray, that anointing is released. Then under that corporate anointing, the individual needs, that is an urgent matter God will attach to it. So another advantage. So the first thing under corporate anointing by corporate prayer is that it brings heaven's rapid emergency response. So right now, if something is happening to somebody, that's why you see that sometimes when you, some of you call me that, "Pastor, something's wrong with me," I'll call that prince, because at that time I need a corporate anointing to function. You remember Pastor Collins recently came in and said that he has been ministering to a particular woman and the husband outside the country. They took in seed. Now the news is that she has given birth. Glory to God. And when the seed was attacked, he called Daddy Joe for reinforcement, because at that instant they needed the corporate anointing to deal with an emergency. Corporate anointing. So anybody who tells you that if I pray in my house, God will answer, at that instant God will not answer, because it lacks the qualification to provide emergency. If you need spiritual emergency, you want to dial spiritual emergency number, it's corporate anointing. Don't be deceived. Oh, you can be in your house and pray, the devil will deal with you, eh? Do you know how many arsenals they came with? The Bible said when a spirit is cast out of a man, he goes into dry land and brings seven more. So if you alone was able to cast out that spirit, now there are seven more stronger than him. You think you alone can deal with it? No. So you also have to call for seven more stronger than you. Sometimes when people bring certain cases to me and I test the waters and I find that I'm limited, I also bring reinforcement. If you reinforce, I'll reinforce. Yes, and when I reinforce, we overpower you and we will take over. So one of the benefits of corporate prayer gathering is that when corporate anointing is released, heaven's emergency response is dialed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you read the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that we read, you saw that Jehoshaphat was threatened. Right? He was threatened. The Bible said he declared a fast and called the entire church. If you read the preceding verses, you find out that after that prayer, a prophet spoke. And that's how Jehoshaphat had the directions of God to elect worshippers ahead of him in battle. That idea came out of corporate prayers. I pray for you. You see, when we call you for church prayer meeting, if you don't come, somebody will say you are doing yourself. Peter knew that his time was over. He knew it because he saw this one that there's no way out. But when the church came together, there was no force that was able to contend against them. So corporate prayer provoke emergency response from heaven. Emergency. So today I'm teaching you, if you need any emergency, get a corporate gathering. Hallelujah. That's why now you should know the kind of friends you choose. Because when the devil is dealing with you, who are you calling? Some of you call and pray for me. No. We call. See, the reason you call people to pray, they shouldn't pray for you actually. They should pray with you. That is the right word. A father figure can pray for you, release blessing. But when it comes to something, you have to call people to pray with you. What you people have been taught is you only know how to call people to pray for you. You don't know how to call people to pray with you. There are times my brother will call me. And there's an emergency. Not to pray for him, but we'll handle the matter together. And you see that we will generate a crescendo, a corporate anointing, and it will release a rapid response. Hallelujah. We will pray. I'm just taking it slow with you. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Number two, under the same point one, corporate prayer gatherings produces corporate anointing. Number one, I said, by provoking heaven's emergency. Number two, he releases spiritual synergy for affirmative answers from God to act upon. You see, when you are confused about a matter, and you want to be sure of what God is saying, or you want to be very sure that God has spoken, it is in corporate prayers. Yes. Because in that corporate prayer, that's why I teach you the protocol of corporate prayer. You find out that you shouldn't engage people who are not in that level of your understanding in corporate prayer. They will not help you. You get them. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 2. Spiritual synergy. Yes, do you know what the synergy is? Go and look for it in the dictionary. Today I've given you a word to go and find in the dictionary. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of what, Cyrene and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Can we move on? And as they ministered unto the Lord, if you read the New Living Translation or the Passion Translation, they ministered unto the Lord through fastings and not prayers. Listen, he said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work unto I have called them. Do you know that when they heard this thing, they didn't argue this prophecy? Do you know why? Because it was a corporate gathering where a synergy was generated. And in that synergy, when the Spirit of God spoke, they knew that this cannot be anything but the voice of God. Sometimes you need an answer for something. The best way to secure that answer is to get. You see, this the Bible said they were prophets and not teachers. That's as a protocol. So you get your colleagues. They said, I need an answer to this matter. Can we? There was a sister of mine in UK. He's a member of this ministry. Called me one time that she wanted to take a decision about her job. She has been praying, but she's not getting it. So can I join her in prayer? We'll pray over. I said, okay, no problem. So I called her. We prayed for 1 hour. After 1 hour, she heard the Lord speaking to her. And she was so sure of it. When she took that action, actually that was what God wanted her to do. When she was praying over 3 months, she didn't get clarity. But when the synergy was generated under that corporate anointing, there was affirmative answer. So the Bible said, let two or more speak. Because in the mouth of two or more, they ought, a word is what? Established. Don't let anybody deceive you that corporate prayers. Sometimes you can come to church and the prayer topic will raise has to do with your matter. Under that prayer topic, you'll find that God will begin to respond to you. That's how powerful corporate prayer gatherings are. But we have a generation of Christians who think that, oh, corporate, no, 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 it's not the same. It was Paul and Silas, as you can read by Barnabas and Paul. God never told them individually about where he was sending them. He told Paul that you suffer for the sake of me. But it was at this prayer gathering. This was how Church of Pentecost those days used to appoint chairman. But now things have changed. Hallelujah. I don't know. Do you know how the late chairman in Jimmy was appointed? Under corporate prayer. Sometimes transfer of pastors to different places is corporate prayer. The church leaders will gather and will pray. Prophecy will start flowing. No, because chairman to me was the youngest among all of them. In fact, he was no one close. So nobody, see, the reason why nobody argued his calling was because it was an affirmative answer under a corporate gathering. And the Church of Pentecost took a crescendo under that man's office. Some of you, your breakthrough that you have been waiting for, it is under a particular corporate prayer gathering that a word will be released out of that prayer gathering, and that is how your life will be turned around. But you are here, say, I'll pray individually. Continue. Continue. It will take you years. Continue. You can't break spiritual protocols and expect same results. It doesn't work. It was under that spiritual atmosphere. So it has become a big war now between the old generation and the new generation of Church of Pentecost in terms of how leadership is appointed, because they are used to this system. The Bible, our father in the Lord, just said that the first time they cast a lot to appoint a leader in the church, you didn't hear of the person again. That is, the first time they cast a lot, Twaba, a spiritual leader in the church, we didn't hear of them again. It is so anytime, see, that is why, see, I've said this thing about our father in the Lord. Anytime he wants to take some serious decision with the church, there are certain people who engage them in prayer, and then you wait for answers, prophetic, and this I'll give a prophecy. So most of the times at camp meetings, most of the decisions that he do take, he does it at camp meeting, including the appointing of elders. Where is he? You people are appointed at camp meeting, do you know? Just another camp meeting anointing, corporate gathering that daddy selected the people. We were appointed at camp meeting, have you forgotten? So our father in the Lord, so these things are spiritual realities. You're no more anointed than Daddy Joe, but he relies on corporate anointing to affirm what God is saying. But here we are, a generation. So when we call for corporate prayer meeting, don't take it lightly, because when under corporate anointing, we are very sure that this is God who is speaking. Number three, under the same, is a catalyst for revival. A great tool to provoke dimensions of God for individual benefit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. In the book of Luke, Jesus told the disciples that you all should wait together in the what? In Jerusalem. None of you should what? Leave. Wait for me. Now, I said, go. Let's go back. Verse 1. Okay, give me verse 2. Let's something. Okay, let's start from verse 1. For the purposes of what I want to establish. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? One accord in what? One place. Are you there? Let's read. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty what? Wind. And it filled all the house where they were what? Sitting. Let's continue. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of hot fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. They were all filled. Corporate prayer gathering generates a corporate anointing that provokes revival, a release of the dimensions of the Spirit. A
promise was made that a day will come that the Lord shall pour his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters would prophesy. It took a corporate gathering to release this dimension. When the corporate gathering ministered unto the Lord in prayer for 10 days, on the 10th day, the momentum gathered was enough to cause the release. When it came, it was not only Peter was speaking in tongues. Peter didn't speak in bigger tongues than James. The Bible said the same clothing of either landed on Peter, landed on all of them. Sometimes when we want to encounter certain dimensions of God, it is under corporate anointing that we can provoke that kind of thing. In fact, the best way to put this is corporate anointing is how to speed up divine encounter. You see, the level you are right now, your spiritual level is not that much to provoke certain realms. But when we put you together with Pastor Collins and some people here right now, you begin to pray, the kind of encounter you receive. Let me say this thing funny. The first time I prophesied enough for Christ, I was holding the days of Prophet Aristo. I was holding the bowl that he was using to anoint. And when I stood beside him, I started seeing what he was seeing. So by the time, so that's how I got the assurance of. So when he talked about something, then Papa, I will say the thing. I said, ah, okay. So this is how this thing work. When we closed, that is how I took off. When we closed, I met people individually and I started engaging them. Then the Lord will start to show me something. I'll talk to them and they confirm it. I'm talking of 2013. That's how I started. It was a corporate. And that, you see, sometimes when you see us ministers and commissioners, you see the move of God like that. It's not because we are anointed, though. Because there was a corporate gathering and the atmosphere is charged by prayer. The anointing that is released, we will start to minister. I think it's that the joke. Like the way that you when we live and when we are on and you meet us, you know that we are small boys. We are not gotten there yet. A revival was pending. A move of God was pending. Azusa Street was not started by an individual praying alone. It was a gathering of people. The whole revival by young people were gathered together and started praying. When it came down, it was not only one man, though, there was a leader. All of them were twos. The Bible says when the anointing came down, Philip, Philip was just a member. In fact, Philip may not have been numbered among the 120, or we didn't know him about the 12 disciples. But it was this Philip who, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, went to Samaria and turned the city upside down. You don't know what corporate anointing can do in the spell of a moment. When we meet together like this and there's a corporate anointing released, you enter places and you see the things you begin to do. Because when the revival comes down, there is no division. There is no, how do I call it, class of it. It touches everybody. I pray for you. There's a revival coming. As we gather together as believers and begin to pray, I see a move of God coming again. And this move will only be bet when young people are hungry to meet together. The devil has propagated division so much that now if you call for non-denominational gatherings, people are not interested. Go to our universities now and people don't are only interested in their denominations. Go to our senior high schools now and all that they are learning is that my church this, my church that. I remember those days in UCC, when I went to UCC, there was a particular ministry belonged to called MPF. It was a neutral ground, and that is where many prayer giants were born on that campus. That is how prayer was better to many of us. But today, when you go to our universities, people are interested in their denominations. How can revival come when we are not together? You think God, you are the only one who can hear God there? Go and ask Elijah. Elijah said, God, I'm the only one left. God said, young man, relax. You alone, I've prepared 7,000 people to take your place. If you mess up, 7,000. You think you're the only one who can hear God? Don't think you're holding God's favorite too. So individualism has entered into us. See, I am looking forward to a point where people will let down of their whole denominational whole thing. And we'll come together as church, corporate anointing. Do you know what will happen in Ghana? If the churches put aside all division and said, today, all of us, we are praying, we want to deal with this political party, deal with this government for the nonsense they have done over the years. Do you know what will happen in this country? They'll run for mercy. But the devil has succeeded in creating this division. So the revival has started and the church has no respect. But I pray for this new generation.
I pray for this new generation. It will not be said that you said that because I belong to TMI, so it's only TMI. Well, I'm talking, it's not only about just a denomination. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ, especially in a country like this, Ghana, that we can come together. One person from Pentecost, one from Apostolic, Catholic, whatever the thing, who come together under one shade and say that we are provoking the anger of God. And let's see if revival will not come down. Let's see if revival will not come down. And if the revival comes, let's see if it is only few people who benefit. It's not going to be only Church of Pentecost. Peter was not the only one who received the Holy Ghost baptism that day. Why 20 of them, they all begin to what? Prophesy. And the revival was so hot that they begin to produce product like Stephen. You hear about Stephen? They said that the man's countenance was like the what? The face of an angel. Do you hear that about Peter? No. But he was also there. I pray for you. You see, when we call for corporate prayer gatherings, I come because when it comes down, when we all go benefit, it's not only me, the pastor. I've seen it happening here. When we started praying together, you see the retreat we started doing. Have you seen how people pick a fire here? Let's move on. Time. Oh, Lava Kabashaya. How many have I given under point one? Is it point two? Oh, we're still on point two, right? I've given how many? Okay, the last one. Strategic numeric advantage in winning wars and battles. Whenever we gather together in corporate prayer, the anointing that is produced is our strategic way of winning wars and battles. Numeric advantage. Let's read Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. War is led by one person, but war is won by a group of people. Have you heard about just one soldier going to win a battle to win? No. But one soldier leads a battle. And five of you shall out chase an odd 100. Please get calculator. Let's do the division here. They said five will chase how many people? 100, right? 5 divided by 100 is what? 20. So it means that under that kind of corporate anointing, an individual person can deal with 20 people at a go. Means that when we gather together to pray, the crescendo that we generate, the anointing that comes upon us at that instant, we can do, not this is 20. Now let's see the number increases, what happened. And 100 of you shall put what? 100 of you shall put what? 10,000 to what? To flight. And your enemy shall fall before you by the sword. Hola Makosaya. Divide 10,000 by 100 and give me the number. What will you get? Yeah? You get what? So when you were 5, the only capacity you had was 20. But when your number increased to 100, your capacity grew to what? 100. Look at the change. What does it mean? It means that the more we gather in numbers corporately in prayer, the more our strength increases. It multiplies, it doubles. So what 5 people can deal with? Are you following me? Let's say if 5 people can cover only in the place of Medina, when we end up to 100, we take the whole Accra. Do you know why the devil is against unity in the church? This is the reason. Because the more the church is unified and they grow in their numbers, they took over. Is it what? Oh, Jesus. I pray for you. You see, we want to take over certain things. Don't think that you can do that alone. 100 takes 10,000. 5 took only 100. So 1 is to 20, now move from 1 is to 100. How many? That's the ratio now. It means that you have multiplied by how many strength? 4. You've added 4 more to your capacity. What it means that if you used to have, let's say, 20 acres of land, because now you have your numbers increased to 100. See, that is why when you think that you doing it alone will help you, you are lying. You can't go far. That's what it means. So that one person was only enjoying 20 acres of land, but when the army was increased to 100 and they went after their enemies and took over 10,000, what did they get? They moved from 20 acres to how many acres? 100. So imagine that the army grows to 500. So the rule here is that the more you become corporately engaged, the more you rapidly expand your territory. Rapid. So I want to teach you this formula. If there is a territory of your interest, let's say you want to go into politics, and it's your field of interest, look for those in that field of interest who have the same mindedness with you and begin to take over that place. And you see the speed at which you go. This is what the occult people have learned. That's why if you go to parliament now, go to top top places, you see the Freemason people, they are there. They are there as a family. If one person signs in, you make sure that they recruit a lot of people and they all come there. So when they are in the parliament and they have about 30 of them, they know what they can do to keep the parliament under their control. It's only Christians who are not strategic enough in this warfare. They understand the power of corporate gathering. But I said the Lord will change things in our time. So don't sit home and be deceived that there is not that one has its own place. It is not a competitive good to corporate prayer. Your individual prayer life has its own thing. It complements what corporate prayer is also doing. Now, point number three. Time factor, I won't quickly rush through. Corporate prayer gatherings is a unification system God uses to glue the individuals to each other. If you want to facilitate friendship quickly, pray together. Elder Prince, how did we meet? And how many years have we been together? And how did our relationship started? You get him microphone to answer this one. I'm going to read the scripture, but I want him to answer. How did we meet? How many years have we been together? And how did our relationship started? I'll give it to him. I want you to see something. Corporate prayer. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 44. We're going to read that scripture. Let him tell you, corporate prayer is a unification system God uses to glue an individual to each other. Let's check. Yes.
Since 2009.
How did we meet?
Pensa.
Uh-huh.
We were praying together and then we started going to Parliament House to go and pray.
We have a place called Parliament House. Can you just imagine that? Yes. And we started praying. So 2009, how many years now? And my inner circles...
15 years
of my life. That is half of my life has been with him. Half of my life is with him. And it started on prayer. And we have not changed that. And all other things are secondary matter. Yes. All other things are secondary matter. How we became children of Pastor Collins? Prayer. All Pastor Collins' children were out of what? Watchers. If you are not a watcher, you are not his child. Papa, which of your children is not a watcher? It can't work. We all came into contact with him through prayer. That's how we glued to him. Hallelujah. Can we read that book of Acts chapter 2 verse 1? Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's move on. And they continued what? Steadfastly in the apostles' what? Doctrine. And in fellowship, number 2, and what? Breaking of what bread? And in what? Prayers. Let's continue. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Can you just see it? Corporate anointing. Now, my point. And all that believed were what? Together, and had all things in what? You see, if you take Elder Prince and you take me right now, and you meet him, you know him, you meet him and you talk to him, and you meet me, you see that we have things in common. It's as a result of we pray together. Any Christian friendship which is not built on prayer, that friendship will lead you into sin. I can guarantee that to you. Because that prayer thing, it is the glue. It fires you people up. You cannot be my friend. You call me my friend. No. If you are really my close friend, one of the things we do is that we pray together. If I have any issue, I call. If I don't call Prince, I'll call Joe. Now, that bliss is also part of the whole way. He's a new recruit. Hallelujah. We will call you. I say, we will call you and we will pray. We will pray together. The question is, what do you call your friends for? What do you call them for? Ella Bismarck, what you call the Ike? What do you do? Hallelujah. So I said, I don't want people to too spiritual. Don't enter. No, relax. It's a teaching class. We shouldn't. So the Bible said they had all things in what? In common. As a result of what? Continuity in the apostles' doctrine, number one. They broke bread, number two. And in what? In prayers. So prayer, corporate prayer, generates spiritual glue that you stick to each other. And you understand this statement I'm talking about. It is out of this that when something is wrong with you, I don't need to call you, I'll pick it up and pray. I've shared this story here before. Now, when I got married 2 months later, I didn't tell Pastor Collins I was going to Cape Coast. He called me on phone. That day, you called me. They all had the same dream that I had an accident and died. Did I call you tell I was traveling that day? No. Because we are glued together, our spirit has knit together out of the act of prayer. You have prayed to the extent that my spirit is so knit to spirit. So, do you remember what Elisha said to Simon? Didn't my spirit went with thee? Paul said to the church that when you gather together, my spirit is with you. So when we pray together, our spirit knit together that I don't need to call you. I can pick up information that is happening and begin to intercede for you. But today, our friendships are not built on prayer again. So when something is happening to a friend, we don't know. That's why the devil is slaughtering many of the believers unnecessarily dead in the church, because prayer, corporate prayer, is dead in the church. When you call for prayer meetings in the church, it is prayer towers. Now it has become a profession, a calling. Jesus, help me, Lord. Prayer tower for I'm not going to umpire. When you go for a church program which is about prayer, you will pray it you alone. A recent issue that happened in UCC about a year or two ago, a whole father figure like Dr. Mpia Kofi went to UCC, and it was only 60 people went for that program. 60 people. A friend of mine called me and we wept. Those days when we're in UCC, Dr. Mpia Kofi is coming, that place will overflow. No wonder we are now being, the devil is dealing with us. Because how will God even tell you about this person that something is wrong if you are not knit together? And how do you knit together if you don't pray together? So you find out that Jesus' culture with the disciples, that all the time he takes them together to go and pray. If not all of them, he's close, the ones who are close to him. So you check scriptures. Most times when he's praying, they are there. Even the day that he prayed the most important prayer of his life, he took them with him. So you people, you couldn't tarry with me. Are you with me? Jesus was expecting that they could stand in prayer with him, but they were not that strong. But yes, Jesus drew them because they can pick up his burden. They can pick up what he's going through. So corporate prayer generate that glue that hold us together. Now I don't need to call Kabela before I know that Kabela is not feeling well. He's depressed. I can just pick up information and begin to pray. By the time I'll call him, I say, oh, I've dealt with the matter. I pray for you. May God give you that kind of friends. If you don't have some right now, go and find some. Don't be nurturing some useless friendships. My beloved, we started with prayer. It's not prayer that we started. That's how I grabbed it. It's prayer. I showed my prayer powers on Casford Field, and it impressed the young woman. Guys, you can take this from me. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, point number 4. Corporate prayer provides the medium of establishing the rule, iron sharpeneth iron. The only thing about this scripture is I never stated which kind of iron it is. Acts chapter 12, verse 41. Sorry, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Do you know that iron is produced out of what? The galvanization of 2 metals, right? The science student, please help. Is that not it? So I can produce iron out of what? Nickel and what? Hello? Even me, the business student, I can recall my inter science. That is my good red science. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay, let's continue. Proverbs, iron sharpeneth what? Iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his what? His friend. It is under corporate prayer that my iron will sharpen his iron. How many of you have noticed that when you go for certain prayer gatherings and you come back, your prayer level is not the same anymore? Have you noticed that? The same. Those days you used to pray 30 minutes. But that day that Edawu took you to that small room and gave you 3 hours non-stop. You see, you saw you can't pray 30 minutes anymore. An iron has sharpened your iron. Say, God bless you, Elder Obo. He did well. He has really done something very significant in your life. The principle of iron sharpeneth iron is also buried in corporate prayer gatherings. That means that when we gather together to pray corporately, the level of spiritual endowment that God has taken me to can easily be transferred or can easily work on you. That your countenance, when the Bible uses the word countenance, is talking about what? The change in stature. Your countenance will change. It was the countenance of Jesus change. It changed in prayer. On the mountain of transfiguration, the Bible said the countenance of Jesus what? Changed. So if I want to sharpen you, one of the ways effectively to do it is that I start praying with you. You say you don't like prayer, eh? Stay with Pastor Collins for 1 month. We will see whether you like prayer or not. You can't pray for 1 hour. Don't worry. You stay with Elder Prince for just one month. Unless if you not pray for 3 hours a day, non-stop. You do it. Nobody will force you. Those days when you come to offer Christ, nobody will teach you to pray for long. By the time we are through with you at the camp meeting, you automatically learn how we pray for long. Are you with me? Corporate prayer. This is what corporate prayer offers you. You can't get this from individual prayer. Your personal prayer session cannot give you that. How can you sharpen yourself? So there are certain levels in the spirit, the things of God. It is not you. It is in corporate gatherings and prayers that those things can be released, given to you. That's what we call impartation. The sharpening of iron is what we call impartation. So somebody can impart the spirit of prayer on you. I pray for you. Hallelujah. That today you will catch something. A lot of my brothers I've seen and walk with, I've seen them grow in prayer day by day because we pray together with them. Impartation can be done through prayer. Iron sharpeneth iron. My time is past. My last one, then we'll pray. Corporate prayer gatherings unlock corporate spiritual blessings over a place. In the dealings of God, you have to understand that in as much as God bless the individual, God also bless what? Corporately. So we have the blessing of what? Israel. Israel is a household. Before the individuals in the Israel were also blessed. Are you with me? Corporate blessing is released through corporate prayers. What do I mean? It means that if God has prepared that this church here, there's a particular blessing that will come upon us. Let's say God wants to raise 4 billionaires or wants to bless the church financially, and it's a season of financial breakthrough. Individual prayers will not bring it out. You see why we come for prayers night? It's because of this. Prayers night and all the watch nights you have been doing is to tap into what God has for the church in that month. And then we will release it. When that dimension is released, corporately, the individual will begin to benefit that blessing. So you see that you will gather at a period and we will pray for financial breakthrough. Then you will see that you practically did nothing, but certain breakthroughs have come across your life. It's not because it is that corporate gathering, it is that place. So in the book of Psalm 103, say, how? Can you give me Psalm 103 verse 1? Let's read it. Let me show you something. Corporate blessing. Can we go? Say, Psalm 133. Sorry, 133. 133. Behold, how good and what? And pleasant for brethren to what? Dwell together. Corporate gathering. In what? Now he described how he said, now is what? Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment poured upon the head that ran down from the beard, even Aaron's what beard that went down to his skirt of his what his garment. Talking about the rate at which that crescendo is produced when we are together. What happens over there? There's, you can't separate, because when the oil is flowing, you can't separate what is flowing. It flows together. Listen to what he said in verse 3. As the dew of Hermon. You know what dew stands for? Blessing. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of God. Dew. As the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessings. Commando Shakapa. There are certain blessings that God has commanded. It is in that corporate gathering you get it. Even life. I pray for you. As we sit here, any blessing that God has commanded, anytime we gather to pray, morning glory, prayers night, midweek service, anytime we gather to pray, any blessing God has commanded for this church, I declare it released into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I release life in the name of Jesus. Any corporate blessing that is released over this church, I know that this season God has blessing for TMI Accra. I know that this season God has blessing for TMI General. I declare in the name of Jesus, whenever we gather together in prayer, the Bible says it is like the dew on Hermon, on the mountains of Zion, the dew. The Bible said that the Lord has commanded his blessing. We pray and we declare every blessing commanded in our garden, we receive it in the name of Jesus. As we stand together in unity in prayer, we receive that blessing in the name of Jesus. So I stand as a prophet of this house, and I declare and I prophesy that this season is a season of wealth and prosperity. God has commanded that we will be wealthy, and through prayer we shall take over in the name of Jesus. I declare and I prophesy as the prophet over this household that this season is a season of rising. And the Lord God shall release it in the name of Jesus. Scriptures cannot be broken. Scriptures cannot be broken. The Lord has commanded the blessing. And therefore I declare that blessing. As we pray this morning at morning glory, I declare, oh God, long life is our corporate blessing. It is only within this church. There are certain blessings attached to this church. That you will not see anywhere. One of the blessings is good marriage and fruitfulness in marriage. I declare that you will have a good marriage and you will be fruitful in marriage. It's a corporate blessing upon us. So when we gather together as a corporate body, I want you to know that we gather for a purpose, and the purpose is that we will provoke a corporate blessing. We will provoke a corporate anointing. We will be glued together in prayer. I don't know more kabasaya. Now you begin to lift up your voice and pray, because there is a
so glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.